Welcome into the Unnamed MMA Podcast. I'm Adam Abdallah. With me, as always, Jordan Sherwood. Follow him on Twitter at Wood on ESPN 1000. Get all of his picks, FatJackSports.com. Follow me on Twitter at Adam A. Abdallah. We weren't off last week. We did a recap show on Monday, but the UFC was off over the weekend. And I was like, why? And then I completely understood it because of WrestleMania. Because that's why they were off. WrestleMania does that. And we're back. We're back with a decent fight card this week, Jordan.
I'm excited because it's a live crowd. They're in Oklahoma City. It definitely has some notable names, highlighted by one of the fighting nerds in the main event. That camp has been awesome.
They haven't lost yet.
And I'm also excited personally because we are recording this today on a Thursday, day yes. one, round one of the NFL draft. You and I kind of get to hang out together.
Yeah, we do.
A little bit. I mean, it is a work-related event, but it's going to be at Fat Porn Lincolnwood.
Yes.
So if you are listening to this and you have time to get out on Thursday evening, you should go to Fat Porn Lincolnwood anyways.
Yeah.
Great place, but like, you're not going to have some beverages and watch the draft.
It's going to be awesome. And if you're listening to this on Friday, it was awesome. It was great. We had a fun time. You should have been there.
Abdallah took our relationship to the next level.
Yeah, well, what does that mean? What a night.
I don't know.
I don't know what that means. What a night.
But yeah, no, I am excited. Obviously, you know, having a week off for the WrestleMania weekend that also featured several UFC fighters that were in the crowd. Dana White was there. Daniel Cormier was there. Israel Adesanya was there. Merab Dvalishvili was there. But yeah, I mean, we get a fight night card, and thankfully it's not at the Apex. Although, like, in 2 weeks, I think the May 17th card, like, they're booking fights now because they only had 9 fights scheduled for the Apex. It's sad that they're at that they're in that situation. But anyway, that's a couple of weeks removed or away. I'm pumped for this fight night card on Saturday night.
Okay, sure. So I have a couple questions for you that I just thought of, and I don't know why I just thought of these. So
right. I'm very good off the, quick on my
feet. Obviously, because WrestleMania was this weekend, my Instagram and whatever feeds were full of, like, nostalgic wrestling clips.
Yep.
So a lot of it was Brock Lesnar. And, like, we know that Brock Lesnar made the transition to MMA.
Right.
Who would you think could be the guy that could go either way, either to UFC to WWE or WWE to MMA, that's currently, like, fighting?
The UFC to WWE has to be someone, and I'm stalling here because, again, not quick on my feet. But
this is radio, man. You gotta be quick.
But the reason that Brock Lesnar worked is because he was a collegiate All-American wrestler.
Yeah,
and
I know.
That was an enormous athlete.
I'm aware.
So you'd have to find someone that has some sort of amateur background in that.
But didn't someone win a WrestleMania belt this weekend by tapping someone, which is, like, something you never see in the WWE?
Well, they've now, because the UFC became mainstream, and the merging of, you know, TKO Holdings, you know, they've kind of integrated UFC and mixed martial
That's
arts
what I'm saying.
Into storylines with the WWE and professional wrestling. So I don't know, you know, who is currently wrestling that in the WWE that has that credentialed background. We obviously saw when someone doesn't have it, CM Punk tried to make the transition. And yeah, he took it up as a hobby and he rolled for a year doing jiu-jitsu. But when he got in there with a mixed martial artist, he was, you know, get out of there in 35 seconds. I mean, I think the natural person is Conor McGregor. The natural person in personality is Conor McGregor being able to transition from the UFC to WWE because he's got the personality, because he has the mic skills, he's captivating to an audience. And really, currently in the WWE, you don't need to be those bigger guys anymore. Those smaller, you know, athletes are champions. Cody Rhodes, champion.
Yeah. But here's my philosophy on that.
Sure.
It's the smaller dudes have to be more high-flying. That's why I think the first name I thought of, and it's a weird name to think of, is Tai Tuivasa.
Okay.
A big dude, so he doesn't have to do all the high-flying shit.
Sure.
He doesn't have to be jumping off of ropes and all that kind of stuff. He's already got he does the shoey.
He's got the shoey. That's
so
the shtick.
He's got a shtick already.
He could be hitting people over the head with a shoe.
Yeah, exactly. Like, he could do something, like, and he, like, because the smaller guys have to do all the theatrics when it comes to the UFC or the wrestling. They have to be jumping off of things and flipping and all that kind of stuff. Whereas, like, the big dudes just have to be big dudes.
Sure. Well, I guess, okay, fine. If you're saying that, then the natural guy is Poatan. Because Poatan could just stand there in the middle of the ring
with
his look, and, like, that's awesome.
Oh, like him against, like, Randy Orton?
Right, exactly. That would be phenomenal. But I'd have to pull in, like, you know, Jay Hood, or I'd have to pull in, you know, McLovin, who hosts GKB Wrestling, to, like, give me,
I think,
like,
the guy just named, Randy Orton, could be the guy that moves.
But
because he's a big guy.
He's but he doesn't have any, like, he goes in there, he gets...
It'd have to be a stand-up boxer. Like, it'd have to be a dude that could just knock you out.
Right. Okay. Well, I don't know who that is.
Well, I'm just making conversation, but
you're asking me to list guys.
Okay, and then here's my other question, okay? Yeah. So, it's been publicized this week that the UFC is up for grabs. Their media rights are up for grabs. The rumor is that they want $1 billion. And the other rumor tied to that is that Netflix is going to be involved because of their ties to UFC, or to WWE, and all this kind of stuff. You just mentioned the May 17th card only has 9 fights. Is there a chance that Netflix comes in and says, guys, there's too much? Like, we can't do this every weekend if it's going to be bad. Like, if we're going to have a lame fight card, we'd rather have a no fight card than a lame fight card.
Well, I think I got to speak to the history, and the fact remains is that prior to the ESPN relationship, the UFC obviously had the pay-per-view model, but then they also had, you know, several relationships with several different platforms to be able to, you know, UFC on Fuel and UFC on ESPN, whatever it was in ESPN. But what I'm saying is they were able to put their fight cards on multiple channels. And what I'm hearing and what I'm reading is Netflix only wants big events. So it could be a situation where, like, the UFC is looking for a partner and they're like, they're doing Netflix pay-per-views, and then they're doing, you know, another channel or another platform somewhere else for their fight night cards.
I'm surprised they don't just have their own app.
Right.
Like, where you just download the UFC app onto your smart TV.
They had UFC Fight Pass. They had UFC Fight Pass, and you could also watch the pay-per-views there and watch all on-demand content there.
I wonder if they just go back to that model for the regular fight nights.
Everybody's used to that now, the on-demand app, you know, apps. I mean, obviously, what I'm doing with White Sox baseball right now, I mean, that's how you're consuming the game. So I think it would be a natural thing, and maybe the big pay-per-views are on Netflix, and... You know, that's a billion-dollar contract, and obviously the UFC would take that in a second, I believe.
Yeah, oh, for sure. Someone's going to give you $1 billion, you're going to take it. All right, our other news, which I don't know if it's news or not, but Chael Sonnen is talking, and he first reported that it was that Tom Aspinall and John Jones was set, that it was set, it's going to take place this year, and then he put the sunglasses back on, and he went back on whatever he puts out, where he puts this out, Instagram, TikTok, wherever. And he retracted that and said, okay, I might have said that. I also did believe that to be true. So I do remember I might have said that. It would be real easy to know. I film everything and I put it out. So he doesn't remember saying it. One thing I do know, I told you word for word for word for word. I told you Tom Aspinall's next fight is done, but I don't know that it will be against John Jones. Then I told you if John Jones fights again, John Jones' next fight will be against Tom Aspinall. So he's basically backtracking what he said because he probably found out he was wrong because he was just saying stuff out of his ass.
Yeah, either that or because, you know, now he's an ESPN personality.
Yeah.
He's got his show with Daniel Cormier, the good guy and the bad guy.
So someone got to him and said, what the hell are you doing?
Maybe Dana White got to him and said, like, why are you releasing this news when I haven't gone on live on Instagram Live and announced it. I mean, Chael Sonnen is a tax cheat. Chael Sonnen is known to be a liar. He also would be a phenomenal transition guy from the UFC to the WWE during his heyday because he had outstanding microphone skills, and he's a relatively big guy, so maybe he's the natural selection had we gone and talked about this from, you know, 5 to 7 years ago. Bottom line for me is that if they book an interim title fight between Tom Aspinall and Ciryl Gane, it's bullshit. Ciryl Gane has no business being in the mix for any type of
interim
heavyweight
championship.
No, it's not at all, and I'm Now I'm kind of thinking, like, who else is there? Well, the natural selection in person is Poatan.
Yep.
You put Poatan in that, because there's no other heavyweight right now that is putting his stamp and saying, I deserve to be fighting Tom Aspinall for interim heavyweight championship or the unified heavyweight championship. Mm-hmm. It's John Jones, it's Tom Aspinall, and it's nobody else. So why wouldn't you, why wouldn't you, unless you want to allow Poatan to maybe challenge Ankalaev again for the light heavyweight championship, book the interim title fight between Poatan and Aspinall. That fight would be bonkers.
Oh, yeah, it'd be great. You could put that at MSG. You could put that as your final event of the year if you want to, like the way they did John Jones last year. You know, you could do whatever you wanted to, or second to last event, whatever it was, because they ended on a fight night or something like that. But their last pay-per-view is what I mean. You could do that. I mean, I don't know what exactly. Does the ESPN contract end at the end of this year? You could make that your first fight on Netflix. You know, you want to do big numbers? Put John Jones and Aspinall as your first fight on your new platform, and you'd get all the numbers for that. Because I can't think of a bigger fight that people are waiting for than what John Jones is going to do next. So you put that fight on your new platform. But again, that's something that we're waiting for, 8 months from now.
Yeah, and look at the, I've never say the rankings matter, but like I had to think of like who are the good heavyweights out there. Like this is the UFC rankings for heavyweights. Aspinall 1, Gon 2, Volkov 3, Pavlovich 4, Blades 5, Jalton Omeda 6, Sergey Spivak 7.
No.
Like I would have said like all those guys are coming off losses. Like not one guy standing out to me is like being a bona fide contender for Aspinall. The only guy is Poatan. So give me Poatan.
Yeah, give us somebody. You can't just sit around and do nothing. I hate the sitting around and doing nothing. You know who doesn't sit around and do nothing? Our guy Bilal Muhammad. He's fighting in 2 weeks.
Bilal.
All right, let's get into this UFC fight night here, Oklahoma City. It's Ian Machado Garry against Carlos Prates. We'll get to that in a little bit. Our fight card kicks off with, so all these fights seem pretty good except for this opener. Like the opener has the biggest odds here. It's Ikram Alaskarov against Andre Munoz. Munoz is plus 390. Alaskarov is minus 590. Alaskarov is 15-1, and then he went to fight Robert Whittaker on short notice and he got beat. And so he's 15-2. So he's coming off of that loss. And Munoz hasn't competed since ending a 2-fight slide back in 2023. So he hasn't fought in over a year. So you've got a guy coming off a loss who is heavily favored here and a guy who hasn't fought in over a year who is a big underdog.
Yeah, Alaskarov is a Sambo world champion, came into the UFC with a tremendous amount of hype. The only losses on his resume is 15-2 are Khamzat Chimaev, who is fighting for the UFC middleweight championship. We know how good that guy is. And Robert Whittaker, the former 2-time UFC middleweight champion of the world, and a guy that he had to fight, Oskarov did, on short notice, and he got knocked out for it. Prior to that, he had been prepping for several fights against Andre Muniz. And Muniz is a very credentialed grappler, but really suspect stand-up. And a lot of people believe, and the odds indicate this, that as, Alaskarov is a near $6 favorite, is that we're getting a finish. We're getting a quick finish, and it's kind of a squash match, as you will. And I really don't believe Muniz is going to be able to be able to get this fight to the ground where he needs to. And even if he does, able to keep it there, and even if he does and keeps it there, able to submit Alaskarov. So I think for sure Alaskarov is safely being put into our parlay. He deserves to be that big-time favorite. I think he bounces back. They want to showcase this guy and give him kind of a squash match, if you will. Mm-hmm. And I do believe actually the under at 1.5 is in play. And I do believe like a first round knockout. So if you can get really creative with the props and find that plus money.
Well, under 1.5 is minus 102.
Yeah, I'm in on it. Because look, I could also see a situation where Muniz knows what he needs to do. Oskarov somehow isn't prepared for the fact that Muniz is going to come with a takedown heavy game, gets a takedown and gets him out of there via submission. Because Muniz, again, is a very credentialed submission artist and a guy that could put a lot of people out of there. But I just don't think his stand-up's going to be able to get him to put him there. So I got Alaskarov to win the fight, probably win it in round one and win by knockout.
Okay, so I don't want to put minus 590 in our parlay.
Okay, you're in control of the parlay.
Well,
I can just make the recommendations.
Hold on. Alaskarov by knockout is minus 150. Is that parlay safe? Do we deem that parlay safe?
Yeah, he's going to finish.
Okay. So by knockout is safe? Or do you want, I mean, he's not going to submit him.
No. He's going to knock him out.
Okay, so Al Askarov by knockout is going into the parlay. The play on this fight is Al Askarov by knockout in round one at plus 250 and the under 1.5 at minus 102.
Jack's been on a pretty good run right now with his NBA playoffs selections. Mm-hmm. I think he's like 7 of 8 or like 7 of 9 or something like that. So, I'm sorry. And there'll be a sprinkle for sure. On what you just indicated, the prop bet for that. For Askarov.
All right. I like that. All right. We'll go to our next fight here. Randy Brown against Nicholas Dalby. Dalby plus 210 here, and Randy Brown minus 280. So we'll start with Dalby. He's 40.
He's a man.
He's 40. He's a man. He's my age. I can't imagine getting into an octagon ever, let alone at 40. He's 6-2. With one no contest, it's returning to the octagon. And Randy Brown, he's minus 280. He's 7-2 over the last 4 years. So it should be an easy fight for Randy Brown minus 280. What do you think of this one?
I mean,
he's old, man. Dalby's old. He's 40.
It'll be an easy fight for Randy Brown if Randy Brown fights like Randy Brown. Use his athleticism. Obviously, the age gap is huge. He's going to have a size and a reach advantage. So use the jab. Use footwork. Don't make some of the dumb mistakes we've seen Randy Brown make in the past, and that is put himself up against the cage against a more powerful guy and either worry about the clinch or worry about some dirty boxing, which is what Nicholas Dalby does. And I think you mentioned it about Dalby. Like, I mean, credit where credit's due for a guy that flamed out of the UFC, lost 3 fights in a row, had to go back to the regional scene over in Europe and England and take fights there, and then, like, got invited back to the UFC and has had only 2 losses since he's returned, as you alluded to the UFC. A Tim Means loss, and Tim Means a pretty talented guy, but he's, you know, probably at the tail end of his career. And Fakhretdinov in his last fight, which, you know, many would argue that was won by Nicholas Dalby. So a lot of people that I'm talking to, Abdallah, mm-hmm. are in, you know, kind of the, either they're on the Nicholas Dalby side because they saw what he did to Gabriel Bonfim 2 fights ago, and that was humble a young, hungry, more talented, more athletic opponent and take over late, survive that first round, rely on his cardio, which I believe Nicholas Dalby will have an advantage of against a guy in Randy Brown. And albeit that in his last, I think, either in 2 of his last 3 fights or in all 3 of his last 3 fights that he won, Nicholas Dalby was dropped in the first round. So eventually, he's a man, he's 40. Eventually, that chin's going to go out. He's not going to be able to get up after being dropped. The problem is Randy Brown is not really a powerful striker. He's a volume striker. I don't see him as a guy that even if he tags Dalby and drops Dalby, he's not going to have the finishing power. So what I was getting at is that most of the people are either just straight up betting Dalby, relying on the fact that he could take over midway through the fight, win the third round, and maybe end up being a controversial split decision, or he's going to be able to get a finish of Randy Brown. Randy Brown's going to tire. Dalby's going to keep coming after him and get the win. Mm-hmm. So my recommendation is on this particular fight, bet it live.
Okay.
Bet it, and it's a little bit of a risk because you could see, like, Randy Brown, like, probably going ahead in that first round. So yeah. His price goes up from 260, like, to 430 or something, like, mm-hmm. 440. But then I think if you can and your book allows it, like, maybe get creative with Brown via decision, or maybe that's the first bet you make, but then it's Dalby. Okay. Then it's Dalby. If you're seeing Brown's, like, what he's doing and Dalby's just walking through it and hunting him, it's the Dalby live bet that's going to obviously, you know, increase that price even further.
Okay, and no parlay, no fat jack selection here to start. Okay.
Because I can make arguments for both guys. If you are asking me, right now it's Thursday again, we haven't been the fat poor yet. Maybe my opinion would change after we have a couple of
drinks. And if you're listening to this on Friday, where were you?
Yeah, exactly. I'm very mad at you. Come up to me right now on Thursday, and it's Randy Brown via decision.
Okay,
that is the recommended bet that I will make today. Randy Brown via decision.
All right, and that is +110 on the money line right there. So that's not actually bad value there. Dalvey by points is +340. Brown by knockout +360, and then the rest are ridiculous. Like that's basically the only way that Vegas thinks this fight is going to finish, because Dalvey knockout is 10-1. Brown submission 10-1. Dalvey submission 17-1.
Yeah, Dalvey's submission I don't think is in play. Randy, yeah. I think there could be a TKO stoppage. I mean, Randy Brown, again, not a finisher. Maybe perhaps he gets it because of the volume striking, but I just think it's safe to say that he's going to coast on points.
All right, our next fight here, one of my favorite guys to watch since we've been starting this is Michel Pereira against Abus Magomedov. Magomedov +120, Pereira -155, the favorite here. I watched a highlight reel of all of his knockouts. That flying knee that he had a couple fights ago, dude is so much fun. He's 9-3 overall in the UFC, 8-1 overall in his last nine outings, and I believe most of these, three straight first round stoppage wins after he moved to 185 for Pereira here. Magomedov, he's gotten consecutive wins in 2024. He's 3-2 in the UFC, and he is +120. And Pereira here, -155, like I mentioned.
Yeah, I mean, Pereira is such a fun fighter.
Yeah.
Ever since he burst onto the scene and the knockout in his debut in the UFC against Danny Roberts, and then controversially tiring himself out in his second fight against Tristan Connolly, I still don't know how this dude got in cut to 170. It is one of those mysteries of life. But he thankfully, I think for all of us, made the smart decision. And he's still a ginormous 185-pound fighter, too. He got humbled in his last fight. He got a showcase fight. He got a main event fight against Anthony Fluffy Hernandez. And threw everything but the kitchen sink, or probably included the kitchen sink, at Anthony Hernandez in that first round. Couldn't put Fluffy out of there. And, you know, Pereira kind of gassed himself out a little bit, and then the takedown started to come. And, you know, we know how, and we've started to see how special of a fighter Anthony Hernandez is. And this guy is certainly in the mix of title shots and consideration at 185 pounds. And I still think Pereira will be a dangerous fighter, and a fighter that a lot of people struggle with because of his size, his speed, the versatility that he brings from a striking standpoint. And his takedown defense. I mean, no discredit to it that a guy like Hernandez was able to take him down. And against, you know, Magomedov, here's a guy that he was just thrown to the wolves really too quickly in his UFC career. I mean, two of his first three fights, I believe, in the UFC were Sean Strickland on a short-notice main event fight at light heavyweight. He got knocked out in the second round. And then he follows that up with one of the fighting nerds, Kyle Brajo, who's certainly in the mix to be fighting for maybe an interim championship. You know, I don't know if we're going to get to the breaking news about Dragos Duplessis, but
pew, 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 pew.
But certainly there. So, but since that bounce back, Warley Olvez beat him. Bruno Ferreira, we know how good that guy is, beat him. This will be a stand-up fight. And I think if you're backing Abbas, you know, Magomedov, it's just like you're going into a stand-up fight. Are you going to be able to work in some takedowns? And most likely not. Pereira's going to have the advantage on the feet. He's going to have more power. And I just think that Pereira, like, learned his lesson. He's going to learn more in the value from the loss. So I like Pereira in this fight, and especially I like him at the price point of $1.43, $1.54. I still think it's fine, and we can put him into our parlay.
All right, we're putting him into our parlay here. So our method of victory, Pereira by knockout +210, Pereira by points +370, Magomedov by knockout +380, Magomedov by points +450, Pereira by submission +750, and Magomedov by sub at 8-1.
You know, the other thing I think to make look at is I think there's a finish. I do. I think, you know, I could see, Magomedov also getting a finish of a Pereira. Maybe, you know, he hurts him, even though Pereira's been, it's been a while since he's been knocked out and stopped. But I think the under a 2.5 at $1.50 is a secondary play on this card. I don't think there's anything special from a prop standpoint.
Okay. I do.
Oh, here we go. Prop of the night.
Prop of the night.
Sweet.
Pereira by knockout +210.
Okay.
Pereira by knockout +210. I might be a victim of watching all those highlights, but I think if he's going to win this,
they are fun highlights.
They are fun. They're so much fun.
Yeah, and he is a finisher. I mean, he has 20 of his 31 wins have come, you know, inside the distance. And let's see, five of his eight wins in the UFC have come finish via finish.
Yeah.
He's a finisher.
All right. He is a finisher, and he's my prop of the night to win by finish, by knockout. All right, our next fight, Giga Chikadze at plus 150, David Onama at minus 190. He is 1-2 over the last 3 years, 36-year-old, so he's getting up there in age, younger than me, but we'll say it. and Onama is on a three-fight winning streak, so that's why he's a minus 190. What do you think of this one as we get further into this fight night?
The fight to go back to watch, if you're one of those guys that maybe won, hey, who are these guys that are fighting at UFC Fight Night, and I want to watch some previous fights, go back and watch the David Onama Nate Landwehr fight, which was a majority decision loss for David Onama, his last loss. Nate Landwehr is one of those dudes that just like walks through the zombie apocalypse and survives. Like, dude, you throw everything at that dude, and he just continues to come after you. And how he survived, I think like the first round was like a 10-8 round, and then David Onama just gassed himself. David Onama comes from a great camp, Factory X. They're one of those other ones that is churning out a lot of big-time prospects and several respected fighters in the UFC. Powerful featherweight, big dude, athletic, has takedowns. And we've seen since the loss to Nate Landwehr, you know, he has bounced back. But against a guy in, you know, Giga Chikadze, you know, you mentioned the age, and I think the age is only a factor at 36 because of the style of fighter that he is. He is a kickboxer. He's a Muay Thai fighter. He needs to work in kicks. He needs to rely on his quickness and his speed. And obviously, those are really two things early on when you get up there in life. I know, as a 43-year-old basketball player, not that I was ever fast or anything like that, but my speed is definitely a lot slower than what was. Those are some of the first couple of things to go. But here's the thing, like, Giga Chikadze, like, with the body kicks, and you think about maybe he's going to execute that against David Onama, and outside of, look, he has lost two of his last three fights, but they were to Calvin Kattar, and he was at one time one of the best featherweights in the world, and then Arnold Allen, who's still one of the top five featherweights in the world, and outside of that, he's beating everybody else, he's beating Edson Barbosa, he's beating Cub Swanson. Nobody can figure out the striking, and I think that the fight's going to start on the feet, as we know, and David Onama's going to try and, like, really land a powerful strike, and I think the elusiveness of Giga Chikadze is certainly to take note. He's never been knocked out in his 19 fight mixed martial arts UFC career, so give him a dog.
The dogs are barking. All right. So we're going to go with Chikadze at plus 150 right now. Method of victory here. Onama by points, plus 185. Chikadze by points, plus 270. Onama by knockout, plus 340. Chikadze by knockout, plus 650. And Onama by submission, plus 700.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing about Onama is like, or fading a little bit on Chikadze, just him being able to not get going. And maybe Onama's, you know, just landing some powerful strikes. Maybe he's getting a takedown in or two. But I just feel like this is going to be a stand-up fight. I feel like the Onama is going to be chasing. Chikadze is going to be landing. And it's going to be just the volume of striking. And maybe it's like a similar-ish fight to what we were talking about earlier on in the podcast about with Nicholas Dalby and Randy Brown. Just, you know, the volume striking of Randy Brown, maybe similar to the Chikadze, just fighting at distance, landing some powerful kicks, slowing down Onama, and just riding out a nice two-round or three-round victory.
All right. Sounds good. Our next fight will be the final fight for Anthony Smith, as he has already announced that this will be his final fight. He goes into the octagon for the UFC for the 25th time. He is plus 350, the underdog. I mean, even Zhang Mingyang by knockout is minus 200 here. And so, you know, Anthony Smith has had a great career. He's 36. He's retiring. We already know the gloves are coming off and going on the ground and all that good stuff. But he is plus 350 on the money line, and he is minus 200 to get knocked out in his final fight, which I feel like that sucks, man. like your last fight, like you walk in and you're like, I'm getting knocked out tonight. Like, and it's going to suck.
Yeah. I don't like this fight. And I look, Anthony Smith is, you know, good for him. What he's accomplished in his mixed martial arts UFC career, he, you know, a lot of storylines about him. He's rubbed people a lot of the wrong way. He has good relationships. He's well respected, obviously, by the UFC and ESPN. They put him on the update desk. You know, the high profile story about a home invader that he was, you know, trying to take care of. A lot going on in Anthony Smith. I just don't like the storyline of a guy going in, and we already know that he's retired. And then even like a sidebar, may I approach? There's a fighter that retired and now he's back, fighting earlier in the card. I mean, yeah. So the mindset of Anthony Smith. I mean, I'll give him credit. Look, he has made that decision. He is fighting, you know, somewhat in a home game, you know, for him. He's a Kansas City guy, so he'll have a large contingent, and he's definitely loved by a lot of guys. But, I mean, this is a guy that has lost 5 of his last 7 fights. Mm-hmm. He did surprise a lot of people 2 fights ago with his victory over Vitor Petrino in Brazil. A lot of people thought that Petrino was just going to go in there and smash him, but Petrino had just a dumb game plan, you know, run at a guy with your hands down and your face out, and he got taken down and submitted. I just don't think Ming Yang is gonna fall into that trap. I think Ming Yang has shown, and albeit this is a dramatic step of competition now, but he's knocking guys out in the first round.
Yeah.
So for me, I think as much as I want to, you know, play Anthony Smith and have it be the nice thing, I don't know where my mind is at. So it's Ming Yang via round 1 knockout. Like, just go all in on that. Get something to plus money, because and I'll
it's
say this.
Plus 120. I mean, look, the knockout alone is -200.
Yeah.
Knockout in round 1 is plus 120.
Yeah, this is, you know, saying that and, like, understanding those, this is a no play for me. It is. Like, Ming Yang, step up in competition.
Yeah.
Where is Anthony Smith at?
Yeah.
Like, Ming Yang doesn't get the knockout in the first round. Anthony Smith could, like, ride out into a 3-round decision win. You know, the judges being, you know, and I always got to question that shit, you know.
Yeah, but they're not going to give him a win just because, if there's any question mark, Ming Yang's going to go in that 3rd round and knock his ass out. Like, if there's any question, you know that.
So what is Ming Yang to win in round 3?
Ming Yang to win in round 3.
Can you find that?
By knockout in round 3 is 10-1.
Okay. Well, that's a little bit more fun,
I guess. Yeah. I'm just not going to touch it. I mean, I can throw him into our parlay at -520, unless you think it's too risky.
You refuse to put the -590 guy on. So why would you put the -520 guy on?
So should I put him in by knockout at -200?
No, I don't.
No, you don't like it?
I don't like it.
All right, fine.
I don't like it.
All right.
Although Anthony Smith did get knocked out in his last fight.
All right. All right, we'll leave it alone. So far, only 2 fights in our parlay.
I have some more. Some more.
Some more?
Yeah.
As we head into our main event, let's see where Jordan goes with this one. Will he go with his head, or will he go with his heart, or will he go with his black-rimmed glasses here? As we talk about Carlos Prates, one of the fighting nerds, is an underdog in this fight at plus 100, even money here. Ian Machado Gary minus 130. Last time we saw Ian Machado Gary, he lost a unanimous decision in a short-notice fight against Shavkat Rakhmonov when our guy, Bilal Muhammad, hurt his foot and couldn't fight, so Machado Gary stepped in. Lost the fight. This is another short notice fight, right?
Yeah. Yes.
So technically it's a short notice fight. So this is the second time in a row that Gary has had to fight in a short notice fight. Prates coming in. He's got an 11 fight winning streak. We've talked about it. The fight nerds are undefeated. I sent you a video this week. I don't know if you watched it between when I talked to you this morning and us talking right now, is that the nerds hired a nerd. Like, the fighting nerds camp hasn't lost a fight yet, okay, since they've come together.
Yep.
We saw 2 weeks ago with John Silva, one, obviously. And then now you've got Carlos Prates, who's a slight underdog here. But they hired their own
nerd.
Like, nerd. And he analyzes all of this tape from a statistical vantage point and not really from, like, a fighter. Like, he's not a fighter. He's not a fighting analyst. He's just a math nerd. And so they brought him in, and he analyzes all of these fighters and goes off of tendencies and percentages and all this kind of stuff and gives them this edge. And, like, watching this video, talking to one of their coaches, and he's like, well, now we know he's done. Like, now we know that opponent is and like, you then they show you the results of the fight, and you're like, holy shit, like, this is real. So I wonder if you start seeing a trend in other fight camps where they start bringing in their own fighting nerds. And I'm saying nerd in like the nicest way possible. Like I respect, like if you get hired by a camp to just sit there and watch a video and churn out results, more power to you, dude. So yeah, like I said, Prates has a 11 fight win streak. Gary's coming off a loss, but he's still a favorite here at minus 130. This should be a very good main event for this fight card here at UFC Fight Night in Oklahoma City. And, what do you think?
Gary, first and foremost, the fighting nerds...
Am I going to hit it?
...have become...
Am I going to hit the dog? 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 Yeah, go ahead.
Can I get my analysis?
Yes.
Must watch. They are must... They are must... They have taken over the UFC, in my opinion. Maybe they're still, like, gaining some steam because they obviously do not have any champions yet. They have not fought for any championship belts yet, but they're like, as we go full circle here, they're like that up-and-coming faction in the WWE that put together this group of guys or gals and is starting to run roughshod over tag teams and going after guys and everything like that. So you can't argue with the results. And Carlos Prates has continued to evolve since he won the contract on the Dana White Contender Series. He has 4 fights in the UFC. He has 4 finishes. 16 or 19 of his 21 wins in his mixed martial arts career have been finishes. And speaking of the fighting nerds, what was documented to me that I read about Carlos Prates and just how he's built physically is that he's one of those guys that has a body that, like, the arms don't match like the body type. Like his arms are much longer than you would suspect them to be.
Oh, he's like he's like Michael Phelps.
Yes.
Yeah.
So like when people are looking at him and standing next to him, like and they're eye to eye to him or whatever they are, they're like they don't realize that he could like Matrix style, you know, like reach 5 inches in front of actually what you're envisioning.
Yeah.
So people are not prepared for that, even when they're sparring and trying to mirror what they're gonna see. So there is that. Carlos Prates, the question marks about him are, A, the level of competition, dramatic step up. I mean, look, Neil Magny and the Leech, Li Jiang Liang, good fighters, always hovering around the top 15, top 10 of the welterweight division. Mm-hmm. You're going now into the top 5. You're going into the deep waters, the shark tank of the welterweight division. And quite frankly, Ian Machado Gary took 2 rounds of 5 against Shavkat Rakhmonov, the guy that should be fighting for the welterweight championship of the world.
Yeah.
But because of injury, he's not. And a guy that, again, very, I guess this is a theme, you know, the elusiveness. We were talking about it with Giga Chikadze. And like, Ian Machado Gary understands distance. He understands timing. He understands counter-striking. He has been tagged in fights. We've seen him dropped in fights. But he avoids a lot of damage. The other question mark about this fight, too, for Carlos Prates is, does he have the ability to go deeper into fights? And I think if you were to ask most pipe people, is this fight going into the third round, going into championship rounds, the answer has to be yes because of the level of competition, the skill sets, and obviously Machado Gary and what he brings. So Carlos Prates, smoking heaters or not, a pack a day or not, whatever it is.
Love it.
Does he have the cardio to be able to do that? Will his power remain, when he's able to do that?
He's sucking wind in the 4th round
because he needs a cigarette.
Walk to the octagon smoking a cigarette?
Like the Big Show used to do back in the day when he was smoking a cigarette. Maybe if that's like his...
That'd be awesome.
If that's his power source.
That'd be great.
So... I hate disappointing you. The bet has to be Machado Gary.
Wow.
The one thing is that, like, this is the toughest test to date for the fighting nerds. This is the toughest level of competition because even Cal Barajo, who, you know, is a phenomenal fighter and can argue that he deserves to be in the middleweight, you know, division, like, his toughest opponent was Jared Cannonier. And Jared Cannonier, I understand, has fought for a championship, but he is not in the top 5 of the UFC middleweight division. We're talking about a guy in Machado Gary that is. So That has my concern from a stylistic standpoint, the unknown about the championship rounds, and the fact remains that Machado Gary stylistically matches up, I believe, very well. But I'll tell you this. They have been, again, as we talked about, must-watch television. They are running through people. Rufy, running through people. John Silva, what he just did 2 weeks ago.
Beating people at their own game.
Exactly.
Like, no one thought that Silva was going to choke out.
And it's not just that, like, as you were talking about, they hired a nerd, like, to do their analytics and stuff. Like, it's not just they're walking into the center of the octagon and knocking people out. No, they are dominating people in multitude of ways.
Mm-hmm.
So, I just need to see it. I just need to see it in this situation.
All right. Is that an official selection?
It won't be an official selection of Fat Jack. No.
Okay.
No.
You just want to see a good fight. You want to see both fighters. I just want to have both teams have fun.
Yeah, I mean, I would love to see Pratis knock out Machado. I mean, great, because then Pratis could throw his hat right into the ring. Like, I'm fighting for the welterweight championship, Bilal. I'm next.
Gary's the favorite.
Yeah.
But as far as method of victory goes, Pratis by knockout is the favorite by a whole dollar.
Yep.
At +185. Gary by points is next at +290. Gary by knockout is next at +420. Gary by submission +550. And then Pratis by points at +600. And then listen, we said Silva wasn't going to submit anybody, but he did. And now Pratis by submission is 21 to 1.
Give me the over at 3.5 at $1.02.
Okay.
I think that we are seeing, you know, as you do, you know, when guys come into the UFC and they make a splash, when they get into the more challenging and talented fighters, fights go into the later rounds. So give me over 3.5 at $1.02.
All right. So Gary over 3.5. That fight is one of the picks there. If you have to, Ming Yang, round one knockout +120. And then our other picks here, Chikadze money line at +150 for the dog. Brown by points at +110, and Alaskarov under 1.5 in that fight at -102. And also Alaskarov by knockout in round one at +250, and my prop of the night is Pereira by knockout at +210. Our parlay right now is Alaskarov by knockout and Pereira. That's it.
Okay, let's get Chris Gutierrez also into there.
Hold on. Prelims? We're going prelims?
Yep. Yeah, we got to go all prelims.
All right, Gutierrez.
$1.42 against John.
Early prelims.
Yep.
Early prelims. Yep. That's where I got to go for this.
Yep.
Hold on. Scrolling. Chris Gutierrez. Duh, there it is. I scrolled right past it. Okay. All right. Anyway. All right, so that's three fights.
What does that get us?
+370.
Fine.
Yeah. Okay. Alaskarov by knockout, Pereira, and Gutierrez, +368, +370 right there, depending on where you do your wagering.
Couple more just to throw out there. Jacqueline Amarim against Pollyanna Viena. Amarim to win via submission.
Okay.
I like that. Prop. I also like Cameron Saman to win, but only if you could get him at plus money. He's now at $1.04, $1.05 at books. I've seen a couple books have him +100. But he's a guy that was 22 years of age, one of the top prospects that the UFC identified. Then he lost to Peyton Talbot, and I think a lot of people recency bias. He's taking on a guy that's making his UFC debut that's the favorite, who's coming off the Contender Series. I like Cameron Saman in that fight, so that would be the other three if you want some prelim action to do those.
All right, that is UFC Fight Night Oklahoma City. Real quick, you mentioned this. Dricus du Plessis has been called out by Khamzat Chimaev, saying that he's injured.
Yeah, shin injury.
A shin injury.
Allegedly.
He's responded.
And said no.
And said, I found it all very entertaining. Unfortunately, none of it is true. Myself and the UFC has already discussed a fight date and the opponent. And June was never signed because the rumor was that they were going to do International Fight Week in June. I did not pull out of any fight. I am the champion. I know when I fight you. That's directed at Chimaev. As a contender, just show up and we will tell you to. Or show up when we tell you to. Fight announcement coming soon. Stay tuned. So he's saying he's not injured, that him and the UFC never agreed to June. Chimaev is saying that you pulled out of a fight that we had scheduled in June. Whatever, whatever, whatever. They'll fight eventually.
He said, she said. I mean, come on, Khamzat Chimaev, I'm going to put it on him. Because the news and the pulling out of fights always happens and centers on him.
It does.
It is. So
yeah.
fight.
Yeah.
Fight Kyle Barajo for the interim championship or just the number one contender.
Fight whoever. Just fight.
Just fight, dude.
Just fight.
Fight.
These guys don't want to fight.
It's so dumb.
So that is UFC Fight Night here and some other news as we broke down. This is a long one for us. This is about 40 minutes. It's a long one for us. I like it on draft day.
Yeah.
On draft day or the day after draft day, whatever. We're angry about the Bears or we're very happy about the Bears, whatever you want to believe or whatever you choose, okay? We'll be back next week. There is another Fight Night as we are 2 weeks away from UFC, what is it, 315? 315 with Bilal Muhammad defending his title. So we'll break down another UFC Fight Night next week on the Unnamed MMA Podcast. Thanks for listening.